want me to change the source?
Yeah.
All right, everyone stand up real quick. As fast as you can, and high five three people. So since she was 14, she's very, very young, she's been working with youth and family, and me too. So we kind of said, you know, hey, we want to help out. We know these things. We've done these things before. So that's what we are here today. So today we're going to be talking about the role of parents and church and children's ministry for passing on our legacy. And I want to remind us all of the Lord of the Harvest in Matthew 9:35-38. It says, you know, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. I remember being a young campus leader back in CSI, back in college. I remember before we baptized Daniel, I had a lot of hair. I'm not saying it's his fault, but it's kind of his fault. Anyway, and I remember I felt like it was all up to me. There was this campus out there. People wanted to know about Jesus, and it was me. I didn't know what I was doing. And then I read the second part of this verse, you know, ask the Lord of the harvest for workers.
Yes.
And I did. And then eventually we baptized some people. We had a lot of fun. We threw a lot of parties, a lot of events. But what I learned there is that it's not all about me. And if you try and do it all by yourself, you're basically setting yourself up for failure. Even if you could be the most skilled person at something, I don't know, pick something, like accounting maybe, right? You could be the best accounting person ever. And if you try and run an entire business all by yourself, you will fail. Okay, you will eventually run out of juice. So what is youth and family ministry? So we went to a youth and family conference last weekend in Dallas, Texas. It was intense. Dallas is amazing. I will warn you, though, when you go there, be careful with the food, okay? Because like they say, everything is big in Texas. There was big portions, huge portions. It was a lot. We went to a Dallas BBQ, and I couldn't even find the entrance. It was so big. It was like a warehouse. I lost my wife at one point. I had to stop at a map. No, there was no map. I made that up. But, you know, we eventually found each other. No, we didn't even know how to order. We kind of like walked past a huge open fire pit with all this stuff cooking. It smelled great. People started speaking Spanish at me. I'm used to just like toning that out when I hear Spanish. Sorry, guys. So I didn't pay attention. I walked in. We actually got sent back to the fire pit. They served us some great, amazing food, but it was so much food. And I was just like, oh, I'll have some of that. Oh, I'll have some of that too. Oh, that looks, what is that? Yes, I need some of that too. And before you know it, I didn't eat for like 2 days after that. So at the Youth and Family Conference, even the one they had last year in Denver, this concept has been thrown around of youth and family from cradle to campus. The idea that we really have to make sure we're taking care of our families, really from when they're babies all the way up to campus. And this year, they also talked about the concept of womb to tomb. So they took it, you know, a step further, saying youth and family is really like from before you're on God's green earth, when you're in the womb, all the way to the tomb, right? And it's important. In essence, every ministry is youth and family ministry. Right. Really, whether you're campus, single, married, we're all part of the youth and family ministry. It's really just a word, right? It's really just a word that means everything. All of Christianity, all of your faith is really captured. So we are all part of the Good Family Ministry. Yep. So we're purpose-driven Christianity. We're really looking to make sure that we're not just paying attention to them right when they become teens, because that's what we used to do. I remember when I was a campus leader, back when I went to the leaders group, when I first became a disciple, we really only paid attention to the kids like when they became teens. We knew that we had a children's ministry somewhere. We knew that the kids went somewhere, right? We knew that there were people who were married that were somewhere as well, but we really only focused on the campus and teens. When they got to be teens, we're like, hey, how are you doing? You ready to become a disciple? And they're like, I don't even know who you are. I don't know where I am, right? So being more purposeful in what we do and making sure that we're paying attention to them at all areas. So here's the purpose of life, in case you were wondering. Any Hitchhiker Guide to the Galaxy fans out there? It is not four. Is that what it's supposed to be?
42.
42, sorry. I always forget the second digit. So it's not 42, which is the secret of life. It is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Right? What did Jesus say? That's cool, Jesus. Round of applause for cool Jesus. No? Okay. And Matthew 22:40, he says, the law and the prophets hang on this command. Right? The Lord, love the Lord your God with all your strength. Without this, we have nothing. Okay? We have no Christianity. We have no Judaism. We don't even have people on this earth. We have a bare rock that's lifeless and devoid of space. Because without this, there is no us. We were created to be loved and to love. Imagine the courage of God. God came down and said, you know what? I want to make something that can love me. But that can also choose not to love me. Want nothing to do with me. Right? Die in sin. And the second part, right after this, he says, these commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So that is our purpose. Family first. Yeah. We need to make sure that we're paying attention to our families.
Yes.
Goal, never accept anything less than our best for our youth and family ministries.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, obviously we just started the first round of children's ministry, so we tapped our first crop of volunteers. We're gonna be coming for you guys next. We're gonna be looking around here for our next crop of volunteers. Youth and family is fundamental to a healthy church. It should never be a secondary consideration.
Yeah.
You guys with me?
Yeah.
All right, awesome. In Galatians 6:10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Yeah.
We're a family, guys.
Yeah.
We got to make sure that we're really paying attention to ourselves first.
Yeah.
And I'm putting the scripture here for me, because for many years, right, I kind of, left the campus ministry. I kind of got wrapped up into my own career, and my career happened to be youth and family.
Right.
That's what I did for the YMCA. I almost felt like Moses in Egypt, being trained by the colleges of the YMCA for stuff. Like, I thought I knew a lot about it because I'd gone to teen camp. I had done different things with the church. I had no, they were on a different level that I had no idea. So I say this mostly to me. This is something that I had to repent on.
Right.
Is that I needed to make sure I was giving my best to God's church first.
Yes.
And it wasn't like a secondary consideration. Make sense? You guys with me?
Yeah.
Come on.
Alright, 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So, recently, Patty and I have also started taking care of our mothers, right? So we made an apartment in my mom's house for her mom, so we're taking care of her, making sure she's okay, but taking care of my mom. We're in the middle apartment. So we're kind of in a mom sandwich right now, so please pray for me. Pray for them too. But it's important to make sure that, especially as our family get older, that we take care of them, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing with us. This is our family. Like Jesus said in Matthew 12:50, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Not to go the other way, don't call up your mom today and go, you're not my mother, because she is. She still is, right?
Yeah.
But in here as well, this is where our family is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we want to make sure when we're doing things that we lay a good foundation. Anyone know what this is?
Yeah.
Manhattan. Seattle? Yep, this is Seattle. Anyone, what is this, Manhattan, right? So what do you guys notice about Manhattan? Where are all the big buildings?
In the south part.
The bottom part, right? And up there. Does anyone know why that is? There's a reason for that.
Bedrock.
Yeah, bedrock. It's the geology. Hey, Andrew, what's up? It's the bedrock. It's in the very foundation. It's in the bones of the earth. So that right there, what you're looking at, is the outline of an underground mountain range. So the bedrock comes up in downtown, and it goes back down. And then in Midtown, it comes back up. And you need this specific type of bedrock to really build tall buildings.
Yeah.
So if they had built a whole bunch of skyscrapers in the middle, that would have been really, really bad. Okay, they would have started slipping, they would have started falling. Like the Leaning Tower of Pizza, I think it's called. Or Pisa, whatever it is.
Pizza.
All right, children's ministry. So specifically, what we're talking about in youth family ministry today is the children's ministry. So we want to focus on fun and family. With the idea that the kids might not remember everything we teach them, right? They're not going to be like Bible scholars speaking like Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew after an hour and a half with them in children's ministry. But they will remember your sermon. I know that's what you want.
Wow.
Not going to happen. But they will remember how you made them feel, right?
Yes.
They will remember where they were loved, right? They will know the way home.
Come on.
Okay? Like in Matthew 21 and Luke 15, anyone know what that is? The story of the lost son?
Yeah.
Right.
Right? I threw this in there for my friend Rob. I know this is his favorite book of the Bible I'll talk about. So Matthew 21, Luke 15, the story of the lost child. He knew when he hit rock bottom where to go.
Yeah.
He knew that even the servants in his master's house were better off than he was right now.
Wow.
That's our goal for the children's ministry right now. It's for them to know by seeing people, flesh and blood people, that Jesus is here. By the way, we love them.
Yes.
So this is a copy of my calendar. This is how I plan my week. For some reason, I've been really into cats lately. I don't know why. Anyone else? But yep, I have this as my motivational poster. And when you think about it, I kind of went through all the math because that's just me. Anyone here love math? Awesome. I just started. Anyone here at the Khan Academy?
Yes.
You should try it if you want to. I just got out of fifth grade. It's very exciting. Redoing all this math is a lot of fun. So basically, when you boil down to it, we only spend an hour and a half with them in children's ministry.
Right.
Right? That's really only, look at the bottom, 0.89% of their week that they're with us. The rest is school, is the parents, and it's hopefully sleeping. I know some of you are like, my kids don't sleep. So this is what we're doing with 0.89%. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb to the soul and healthy to the bones. I'm going to fly through these. Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. Proverbs 25:2, it is to the glory of God to conceal a matter, to search out a matter, it is the glory of kings. And Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. When I was a teacher for a high school, my first year was really, really bad. I had seen a lot of movies, and I thought that you could go into high school and you could have, like, you could be, like, real with the kids and you'd have, like, all of these, like, great conversations. None of that happened, okay? It was terrible. And because of that, I got really strict into discipline, right? I would just get detentions, I would throw people in my room because I needed to get stuff done. And then I kind of examined the scriptures, and these are the scriptures that kind of stayed with me because I realized that wasn't working either, you know? That having a relationship with your students is the best way to really reach them. They have to, you ever hear the expression, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care?
Yeah.
So that's what I did with my high school students. Every Friday, they could ask me any question they wanted to ask me. We talked about sharks, because for some reason they went through a shark phase. We talked about black holes, we talked about time warps, we talked about time travel. Anything they wanted to know, we did it. It was all in on Fridays, and it was a lot of fun. So our new children's ministry model is based on that. The idea is that we want them to have a lot of fun with
vacation.
Us. Based on a vacation Bible school model or summer camp. Anyone here ever go to a vacation Bible school? Yeah, I did too. So I was raised Catholic, but across the street from my Catholic school, Our Lady's Heart of Sea. Any graduates here from Our Lady's Heart of Sea? That's just me. Across the street was a Protestant school, and every year I'd go there for a vacation Bible school. And it was so much fun. I don't remember anything I learned, but all I remember is that we had so much fun. Pastor Rich would get up, right? And he didn't have a bell, but he would like run around like the little play yard we had, some ring, ring, ring. We'd all come in. He would teach us all types of crazy songs, like the five constipated men in the Bible, which I'm told I'm not allowed to sing. But if you want to know who they are, I'll tell you later. I can't sing, right? Okay. And we just had a lot of fun. We learned all these great songs, we did all these great crafts. Every year they had a haunted house that I would go to. And one year they really scared me because they basically had a chainsaw. And I didn't, so someone was coming at me with a chainsaw, so I started screaming and I fall down, not realizing that they had taken the chain off the chainsaw, so it was perfectly safe. And they started like cutting me up, and it was great. It was so much fun. Now, you might be saying, is he going off on a tangent? Why is he saying all this? Well, because after I got out of, you know, elementary school, middle school, you know, my life took much of a different journey. Okay? Yeah. By the time I was a college student, I was pretty much an atheist. I didn't believe in God. And not that I didn't necessarily like Christians, I thought Christians were fine. I didn't like when they tried to convert me, so I would, you know, sometimes argue with them about things. And I was lost. I was very, very lost. But one of the things that helped me come back were these memories. Yeah. Not my years of religious training that I had in Catholic school, but the feeling of being loved in an environment like this. Learning by having fun, learning through doing, playing games and other activities. Now, I know that these are the greatest slides that you've ever seen, but I want to show you some stuff, but I just have to ask that you don't take any pictures of this stuff because we're still waiting on some photo releases. So up here on the top right, that is our morning assembly. You really can't hear it, I guess. See, Lucas got some moves. So every morning we come in, we sing together. It's a lot of fun. That's the best we can do on Saturday. Yeah. All right. This is a game. I don't know what they were learning about there, but you can see it's a lot of fun.
It is.
And this, I have to say, is the best one act play I've ever seen in my life. By Sebastian. Is Sebastian here?
Yeah.
Please give Sebastian a round of applause. He talked about Adam and Eve here. And he basically goes through different costumes. As you can see, he switches. He becomes Adam. He's Eve. I think that's the snake right there. So it's a lot of fun. The kids, you know, laughed so much seeing him do that. Here's some other great pictures. Here's Millie. She said I'm not allowed to show that, but here it is. Here's me and Sarah. That was a funny hat day. So we had a lot of fun there. And that is Dwight during Arts and Crafts. You know, as most of you guys know, Dwight is an artist, so he's getting to use his spark with the kids there and teach them some arts and crafts. So this is our first children's ministry team. Give them a round of applause. They are with your kids right now, so thank them when you see them later. And session two is coming soon, so we'll be recruiting many of you. So parents' roles, the other 40.77%. Not sure if that's exact, but on average. We know that parenting is hard, right? Here's a first-time parent, 1 month later, 4 years, two more kids later, you're like... So when we used to run holiday camps, so there are these camps, there are these weeks off in the middle of the school year, and they always catch parents off guard. Our first day, we'd have like maybe like 20% enrollment, and then we'd always get what we call the parent bump, when they realize that their kids are home with them, and the next day they'd be coming, Mr. Zito, I'm so sorry, we have space, yeah, come on in. So we'd always get like, you know, a bump like the second day, because parenting is hard, we get it. The Bible says that parents, not church or school, are responsible for the teaching your child about God. Isn't that intense?
Yeah, that is.
And the same scripture we looked at before in the Amplified Version, Deuteronomy 6:7, it says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be written on your heart and mind. You shall teach them diligently to your children, impressing God's precepts on their mind and penetrating their hearts with his truths. And so I just think that's amazing that even in the foundation of the scriptures, God says, take care of your kids. Make sure that you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Now, growing up, my mother really didn't really care much about religion, didn't have much use for it. I wasn't really taught much about that. But one thing my mom loved is my mom loved reading. So my mom read to me whatever I wanted. If I was like, I want to read Stephen King today, she was like, okay, let's do it. So she would read to me all types of stuff. She could probably get in trouble for this now, but what she used to do is when I was about 8 or 10, she decided she was going to go back and get her master's degree at St. John's University in Staten Island for teaching. So she would take me to the library, and then she would just be like, give me a juice box and say, I'll see you in a few hours, go ahead. So I'd be this little like 8 or 10 year old walking around, and people would be like, are you okay? Are you lost? I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm studying. And I would go and I like to grab like really oversized books, like those big architectural drawings for some reason. I would like throw them down a table and be like, woo, this is a lot. And so I would hang out with the college kids, and I would read, you know, basically whatever I wanted to read. My mom would come, oh, okay, you're still alive, let's go. And she would take me back home. So my mom really supported that, and that's something that I've never left. I love reading to this day, I read every day, and so that's something my mom was able to put into me. And basically, you know, your kids pay a lot more attention to you than you realize. Whatever you give to them, they will keep that forever. Yep. So two generations. Anyone know what this is? Any Bible scholars here? Okay. Two generations is the exact amount of time it took for the Israelites after Mount Sinai to forget about God. So the first generation was Moses and all them, right? And after that, they took the promised land. In Judges 2:10, it says another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Can you guys imagine that? Just think about that for a minute. The plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea, the crossing of multiple rivers, right? Do you remember when they were at the mountain of God? What they said? They heard God's voice, and they were so terrified of it that they begged Moses, don't let God speak to us anymore. Only you speak to us. Could you imagine eating manna in the desert? You know what manna literally means? What is it? That's what it literally means. They had no idea, but they ate it. Sounds like some of the guys' camping trips, right? We don't know what this is, but we're going to eat it. Imagine that. Imagine the taking of the promised land and then not passing it on to your kids. How does that even happen? Right? Exactly. God's Spirit. So, before we go there, so how are we going to do it? So, let me grab my notes here. So, at the Youth and Family Conference, the keynote speaker. I probably should have written these down here, right? He was from Chicago, and he was very cool with us about how his youth and family ministry has been doing. They're spread out about over six regions, and they said their best region had a 70% conversion rate from kids that started with them growing up into healthy spiritual adults. So that's about 7 out of 10. So for every 10 kids they had in a ministry, 7 of them, you know, grew up, became healthy Christians, were happy, transitioned to campus, you know, adult life, all that stuff. But most of their regions were about between 11 and 20%. Can you guys imagine that? Could you imagine out of 10 kids, only one?
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing, right? So they decided, they made a lot of changes. They decided that they were really going to take this seriously. And they basically brought that up much more higher. So here's the good part. We think of education as something as where we have to cram a lot of facts into people, right? Isn't that how we mostly think of it? That's how I first taught. When I first taught high school, I taught regions courses, right? So that anyone know the regions here? Anyone still take the regions? That's still a thing. So there was a lot of tests that I had to prepare them for. So from day one, I was just giving them questions, facts, right? Found out that's the most ineffective way to teach. Because it assumes that these vessels that you're trying to fill are empty. They are not empty.
Right.
They are full of God's Spirit.
Yeah.
Everything your child needs to have a relationship with God is already inside of them. Yeah. Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Yeah. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has also set eternity on the hearts of men who cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end.
Yeah.
That to me is amazing. And in Matthew 18, what does he say? He says, you have to become like the little children in order to see God.
Yeah.
So there's something that happens to us where we need to become more like them.
Come on.
Yeah. Right?
Come on.
Yeah.
The right home. In Acts 17:28, it says God sets the times and the places.
Yeah.
So God looked down from heaven, maybe he saw something like this, right? And he said, I'm going to put this child here, I'm going to put this child there. He was very selective of which spirit he put into which child.
Yeah.
So they're already in the right home. I know sometimes we feel like, but they really are. They're also made in your image, which that can be a little scary, right? It's kind of like a Lion King moment here.
Yeah.
You know, circle of life. Or, you know, you also be like this. Here's another guy who has a kid in his image. Sometimes it doesn't work out according to plan. So Genesis 5:3, it says, when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. Right? And we all know that Adam and Eve also raised Cain, who was the first murderer on the face of the earth. Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes parenting doesn't necessarily go, you know, the right way, which, you know, it happens. If you think about it, they were the closest to God than all of us in human history, right? They had just left God's presence in a garden, and somehow they raised a king. Yeah. Walk with God. Genesis 5:21, anyone know the story of Enoch?
Yeah.
This is a fascinating thing. Next time you have, like, some downtime, open your Bible and read through the old genealogies. It's really fascinating, right? When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. So there was something, there was a before and after here. There was something about having a child that strengthened Enoch's relationship with God. And it says he walked with God after that for 300 years. And had other sons and daughters. All together, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, that he was no more because God took him away. So there was something about having this kid and the experience of raising this child that brought Enoch closer to God, that enabled him to walk with God. And then the Bible says he just took away. He didn't experience death.
Right.
So that to me is pretty awesome. So the key here is to have a strong relationship with God.
Yes.
That's it. It's a nice little path. Don't you guys want to go for a hike?
Yeah.
All right. Yes, you
do. Yeah.
Daniel has never forgiven me for taking him up the mountain. I have pictures of him smiling. I don't know what happened. He called me a hobbit or something. All right. So one of the things they laid out in the conference, which I'm going to lay out for us today, is the five fundamentals of family. So when you start with the children's ministry, what do we want our families to look like? Right? So let's go through. So here are the five things. We're going to go through one of them. The parent and our guardian's example as a faithful Christian. So the first thing first, we have to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves first.
Yes.
How is your relationship with God?
Yes.
Right? How is it going? Are you sharing your faith with people? Are you having consistent quiet times? Are you a good example of, you know, someone who has a good walk with God? Number two, impressing the word into the hearts of one's children. Reading the Bible together, family devotionals, age-appropriate spiritual books, parents sharing what they are learning in their quiet times, training one's children to have their own quiet times, etc. So are you, you know, taking an active role and you take it seriously to make sure you're teaching your two kids about God? Building a strong relationship with your children. You know, sometimes, you know, I know, for instance, with my own dad, I know he loved me. I don't know if necessarily he liked me. You know, and I know he kept me fed and I had a house and everything like that. But do you have a good relationship with your kids? You know, when I look around the church today, and even when I was first coming to a Christian, I saw so many great examples of parents that just really love their kids. And that to me was very impactful for me, you know, becoming a Christian, and it's impactful to me to this day. Loving the kingdom. Do they demonstrate gratitude for God's people? Do they make church a priority? Are you going to events? Are you going to people's homes? And the last one is having spiritual friendships for the parents and children. Let me turn off my walkie. Technically on duty. Alright. So having spiritual friendships with parents and children. The value of having friends. Also, we have this great thing. We're doing this curriculum. It's called Digging Curriculum. Right? It's an online-based curriculum. Do you guys know that we actually have a handout? Ta-da! That we can send to you.
Yeah.
Right? So we're currently going through the Bible in 1 year. If we get your email, we'll put you on our list, and you can get this to go over with each other. All right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So now we're going to talk about everyone else. I know, I have something with cats, right? It's you. Yes, I'm looking at you. The role of mentors. Who knows what a mentor is? Can anyone tell me what a mentor is? Yeah.
Mentor is somebody that gives advice and shows how to live.
Yeah. Awesome. Anyone want to add to that? Go ahead. Awesome, very good. Yeah, so the value of mentors. According to the Search Institute, which is something that we learned a lot about as YMCA professionals, children who turn into thriving adults all have something in common. They all have three or more non-parental adult champions or mentors. So hopefully we'll be talking about mentors and how that would work later on. But for now, we have a challenge. So if you're a parent, invite people into your homes.
Yeah.
Have them in, make them a part of your lives. Definitely invite me and Patty because we don't always like to cook. We are free.
Mondays and Wednesdays.
We'll eat anything. Okay. I know the campus are usually starving. Right, you heard Nick over there cheer about the Agape Feast. Yeah. He hasn't eaten, so please do. And everyone else, invite yourself. You know, so people are busy. So if no one's inviting you, don't be like, oh, no one invited me. Invite yourself. Say, hey, can I come over to your house? Can I be a part of what you're doing? So that is a way together we can train a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not turn from it. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Awesome
job, honey.
Good to
see
children's ministry. And I know it's November 4th, but next week it's the 11th. After that is Agape Feast, so there's no children's ministry. After that is Thanksgiving. And then in December, we only have two sessions, which is December 2nd and December 5th. Wow. So it's literally just three more sessions to go. The thing that I want to give a heads up is that we have prepared a policies and procedures brochure. And you're going to get that through your Bible Talk leader. So we're going to work that out. And I know that's one paperwork that you're going to get from your Bible Talk leader. The second paperwork is the photo, video, consent. And that's really important because I know that Jenny shows some, but we want to be able to put a video with what's happening in the children's ministry. And so it's just very important that once next week on Sunday, that you go to your Bible Talk leader to sign those forms. And the policy procedures, I just want to say that while we were away, it was so encouraging to get Sarah and Raquel mentioned. Dismissal was awesome. It was smooth. And really, it's from you guys as well because you're listening to the videos. So please give yourself a round of applause. Really respecting all of the policies that we have, especially with those signs that we have up there, and really going out there in fellowship as you walk and talk to children's ministry. So I know we're going to wrap up right now, and it is 12:29. So in just a few minutes, I'm going to let Sheridan close out and see you guys in sign up. So thank you very much for your attention.
You know, I want to again thank Jimmy and Patty for all they've done. Great job. So good. That is good anywhere. I mean, you go back through all those scriptures. Amazing. Amazing. It's our kids. So let's all be a team. All right? Let's all work in the same direction, pull together, and we will accomplish this cradle to campus or womb to tomb. We're going to do the whole long ride. Singers, come forward, and let's all stand. I'm going to say a prayer, and then singers will close us out with a song. And after this, go get your children. If you want a fellowship, take the person you're fellowshipping, and go get your children with them, okay? Let's pray.